Hey everybody, Pete here with a quick apology and update and preamble to a very, very delayed episode. Chris and I recorded this shortly after Worlds ended, and I edited it, and then we weren't quite sure what to throw on the front of it, because as right now, this is late April now, so about a month after Worlds, we have basically no X-Wing news. We got the update for the Grand Tournaments, new OP structure for all of the AMG games is going to be replacing it, and you know, we hope that'll be something we can participate in, something we can play in, follow. But right now we're kind of in X-Wing limbo. So podcast wise, until there's something to talk about, we're probably not going to be doing regular episodes. But as the kind of post-Worlds lull dies down, you know, maybe we get a points adjustment, maybe we get a kit. When stuff picks back up, if there's stuff to talk about, Chris and I will be back talking about it. But in the meantime, we did want you to have this episode, even though it's super delayed, just our takes and reactions after Worlds. You'll hear it in the episode, but I had a great time. Chris had a great time. I've since played some X-Wing after Worlds and update. Still a good game. Really like it. But yeah, so enjoy the episode. It was great to meet so many of you at Worlds. Thank you everybody for listening. And you know, if we become less frequent posters, it's just because we feel like we don't have enough to talk about. Look forward to having new things to talk about. Here's to the future of X-Wing. So again, enjoy the episode. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Commence primary ignition.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another X-Wing podcast. I'm your host, Pete Lambro, joined this week and every week by Chris Daniel. Chris, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. I am holding back from eating these semi-gourmet pretzels that I ordered. They're pretty damn good.
What makes them semi-gourmet?
Well, I'm trying not to sound bougie, but I think they might be bougie. They are, I saw on, I'm like the best person to advertise to, like late at night. So it was pretzels.com. No,
I think you're the best person to advertise to at any time of day.
At any time, right? Late at night is when I click the buy, though. Pretzels.com, they had these like gourmet pretzels with all these different flavors. So I finally sold that. I was like, let me try two. Because then I meet up with the guy sometimes, and I was like, all right, I could bring him some pretzels, whatever, and see if they're any good. So they came in this weekend, and holy smokes, they are good.
What flavor?
Two flavors. Garlic ranch.
Oof, all right.
And the one that's really good is honey maple.
Both of those sound rad. I love pretzels. Yeah. I like, I mean, you've had like Snyder's pretzels, right? Like,
You
had like the flavor pretzel nuggets? I love the honey mustard ones.
The honey mustards are great.
It's mostly salt, but my mouth is watering thinking about them salty pretzels.
Yeah. But
these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yeah. These honey maple, like, if we ever meet up to play the casual maybe next week. I'll bring some if they're still here.
Awesome. Well, I how are you feeling? I'm recovering from Worlds over here. Are you recovered yet?
Yeah, man. It was an amazing time, man. I've definitely recovered. I miss it. I miss the energy. I can't believe how many people were there. Like for X-Men itself.
There were tons of people. So I met so many people. First of all, thank you to everybody I'm positive I forgot most of the people because there were just so many folks. Thank you to everybody who complimented the podcast, who said hello, who said a kind word. I really appreciated meeting you. I really appreciate that you listen. It was great to meet so many friendly faces. And Chris, you were saying that you met some folks too.
It was great meeting people, listeners, new people, people who have never heard of it, people who have heard of it. I particularly had a... near the end of my last match in the LCQs, I was sitting next to this guy from France. He didn't speak a lot of English. And then we were trading some some like prizes that we won, or I had these old art cards and
yeah, cultural exchange. Yeah.
Yeah. Cultural exchange. And then he had, they came up with like a few other people that came by and they spoke more English. So we were translating and we were just having a blast. You know, it was so cool.
Nice. Yeah. I had a lot of folks for worlds really felt like worlds because there were a lot of folks who were not from the United States, which, I mean, there was a lot of players from the United States, let's be clear, but there were plenty of folks from outside the United States. So I was actually really happy to see that.
Yeah. If games are far away, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially folks who come from Europe or Australia,
far. The UK, France.
So listen, some of these folks who are coming down from like middle Canada, that's about as far as I traveled too, right? Like, you know, yeah. What I mean? Like going to Chicago from Canada, it's kind of like going to Chicago from New York, right?
Still international,
but still.
My first match was against this guy Brandon, and remember, I think he was hanging out. Well, maybe no, you were busy, but he was hanging out with us, with Sam and Becker and myself a couple times. We saw him in a bar, and then we saw him later on. And he was from I'll say it wrong, but Saskatchewan, Canada.
Oh, Saskatoon, huh?
Yeah, somewhere up there. So, but yeah. I don't think that's close, man. So,
we're getting ahead of ourselves. You can't be talking about the event yet. We haven't started with the patented Star Wars question of the week.
Yes.
What do you got?
All right. Are you sitting down?
Eternally.
Okay. All right. So, I saw a cheesy movie that was fun called Godzilla and Kong. Okay. And they basically are beating up on some other big monsters in
this is not the new one, Godzilla versus Kong.
Technically it is the new one, but the last one was Godzilla versus Kong.
This one I haven't seen yet. This is the new one.
Yeah, new one where it's actually Godzilla and Kong like tagging up.
They're tag teams.
Right. In that honor, that made me think of what monsters or big huge creatures in the Star Wars universe would we like to see match up against each other, like a Rancor versus the Mythosaur, something like that. What could we see? And we could go smaller, we could go bigger, but what would be like maybe some like cool, quote unquote, maybe gladiator matches between Star Wars creatures?
Okay, so all right, I have my brain is going off on this, but I don't know if this is a title character. In fact, it's definitely not a title character. But you know how in the Godzilla movies, there's like the lesser monsters.
Oh yeah, like of course.
Are like the 1-2 punch, easy ones for Godzilla to take out.
Yeah.
One of those creatures that shows up in the Oops All Monsters Star Wars version is, you know, the when they're going through Naboo. On the boat, you know what I'm talking about. They're going on the boat, yeah. And the fish chases them, and then there's always a bigger fish. That bigger fish gets decked by the Godzilla version in Star Wars, he's ruined, right? But he seems intimidating in his environment. But once you get him out of there, he's done. He's toast. It's full of Rodan.
I was thinking the Rancor versus maybe the Mythosaur. Then I was trying to think of like what the heck. There's nothing that could go against like the space whales. Those are just too big.
The Purgil. Yeah, I went to Purgil too, but I was like, what is the Purgil going to fight?
Yeah, they can't do anything.
Also, the Purgil, they're peace loving.
Mm-hmm. What about the one that came out, and I love that episode, when Mando in the Mandalorian episode where Mando has to go back. He's going to do a little mission for the Jawas. He just wants the egg of that creature.
It's the Mudhorn.
That's the Mudhorn. Yes, the Mudhorn.
That becomes his sigil, the Mudhorn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Mudhorn. Yeah. The Mudhorn.
How about in season 2 of Mando when he fights when they take out the crate dragon, him and Cobb Vanth.
Oh, yes.
And they take out the crate dragon with the Tusken Raiders.
They could do a whole, and we're not even touching upon like the creatures that we saw in episode 2 in that kind of gladiator coliseum.
They seemed shitty because you just ride on them.
Ah, I like them. I like that. I was at James's house playing some Shatterpoint, and we put on the prequels, and I was like, yeah, you know, this is pretty bad.
Just set the mood.
Yes. Get in the zone. But they had some cool creatures in that. I was down with it. I'm an easy one.
I'm endlessly curious about in the Obi-Wan show. This is like the one thing I think about from the Obi-Wan show, which. Mm-hmm. it's not even really relevant, but that like his job on Tatooine before he gets hooked up and saving baby Princess Leia is he's like chopping up space whale meat of some kind. But it doesn't seem, I don't think it's Purgle, but it's like some sort of ancient Leviathan creature. He's like cutting up the meat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that thing like?
Don't know.
Is that, you know, in so I guess spoilers for Godzilla versus Kong, where they use the Ghidorah's skull to make Mechagodzilla.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're using that Leviathan skull to make a mecha something that has to fight the Purgle.
There you go. That's it.
There you go. Or Crate Dragon, whatever.
Thrawn's gonna make it. That's it. Spoiler alert, we gave the new content for the movie coming out eventually.
Yeah, so Thrawn comes back to the main galaxy on a mecha Purgle.
A Star Wars, what if all of the monsters went against each other? There we go.
What if, oops, all monsters? Thrawn, king of the monsters.
Perfecto. There you have man. It.
Speaking of Thrawn, this is a world side topic. You saw that Armada play bumper they had with the Thrawn and the blueprints for the Star Destroyers?
I think I saw, was it on the far right side of the prize?
It was the because they had those bumpers for all the games, right? That was the one for Armada.
Those bumpers were cool.
They were cool. I have the X-Wing one. I'm excited to try and use it.
You're lucky.
No. I would use it the farthest. I would use it for like Shatterpoint too.
It's yeah, nice. You could use it for a lot of things. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? So like in card games, right? So like I play card games. Like I play Star Wars Unlimited now and I play Netrunner, right? It's a very common thing for you to show up to a tournament, right, with your own play mat.
Mat, yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And each player has their own mat, right? Versus X-Wing. If I go to an X-Wing tournament, I don't bring my own X-Wing mat. The store has Starfields or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. The event already has it. So if to me, it's like, oh, this is like,
it's my color.
They need way more of them, obviously. Like there needs to be more designs and stuff. But like the concept is very card game like, where it's like, hey, this is like my mat, right?
So
that my cards go on.
Now, you guys played Destiny, right? I think you and Sam always talked about Destiny or no?
I came to Destiny very late, but yes, I have played some Destiny. There's tons of Star Wars Destiny mats out there too.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because as I said before, I was playing with James, and then we ended after we played that, we ended the game with playing some, as the cool people call it, we played some Swoo.
Swoo.
For you non-cool people, you know, that's Star Wars Unlimited.
And what leader did you play?
Swoo. I played Luke.
Wow.
And I actually won. We just did the starter pack. But he broke out. He broke out like an old Star Wars Destiny mat, and that thing looked cool. I was like, whoa.
Which one was it? Is the one with Adi Gallia?
No, it was a Boba Fett one.
Nice.
And he's like jetpacking and he's like shooting like while like flying in the air.
Honestly, that's classic Boba Fett stuff right there. Jetpacking and shooting. He loves doing that.
It was so hot. I was like, oh, this is badass. As I played Swoo, because I actually just found out, I think this Friday, I found out that's what it's called. That's what the cool people call it. Swoo. Swoo.
Well, it's an acronym, you see, Chris, because the full game is called Star Wars, SW, Unlimited. That's where the U comes from. That's how they get you. Swoo. Yes, I've been enjoying some Swoo. We should play sometime. I have a ton of cards. I can make decks for us. We can play.
Yeah, all right.
Moving on though, Chris, we did it. Worlds happened. Episode 100, and then Worlds happened, and then
this is episode. To inform everyone, one.
This is it. No, we're done. This is it. This is episode. Last episode. We're shut it down.
Minus one.
No, we're not shutting it down right now. Do.
You can't stop us. You can only hope to contain us.
But wouldn't that stop us though? Like, let's talk about Adepticon, Chris. What day did you get to Adepticon? What day did you arrive?
I arrived actually on Wednesday, and I ate. I didn't go to. Well, I went to Adepticon to pick up my badge and I think the mug, and then I went up and I was like, "Holy smokes, this is huge! Like, it's like miniature mania." And when I went upstairs, I did not expect this. There was a ton of people playing so many just just like, you know, like their own games. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, it's like the free play section, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't even when the place was open yet. It was just like upstairs.
No, people were just jonesing. They just want to be playing them games.
Yeah, they were playing everything. I got introduced actually to like a new. Oh, I think I took a picture of it. To me, it looked so cool. This guy was playing with his girl, and it looked like some like weird alien ships just going against each other, and it was like on a map that we would play Star Wars, and I was like, man, that looks pretty damn cool.
What kind of ships? What did they look like?
They looked kind of like, think of like kind of squiddy. They looked squiddy. Yeah, that's what I haven't seen a game like this. They looked like really literally like aliens, and one of them looked a little more traditional, and then his girl was like the more alien kind of like really parasite looking ships. I might have texted it to myself because I remember when I saw it or took a picture of like the name of it. But it was really
was
cool.
There's a 40K dogfighting game called like Aeronautica Imperialis or something like that.
I don't think that was it. Yeah. It was a little newer one, but yeah, that was cool. Then I saw Shatterpoint, I saw X-Wing, I saw some other things, and then I was like, then I played some pickup X-Wing guy. Pickup with X-Wing with, where was this guy? This guy was from Alaska.
Alaska. Nice, I remember. I saw you during that game.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man, so cool. You know? But it was, yeah, that was my first day. And then I went back Sunday super early in the morning. But, yeah, Wednesday landed, hung out, played some pickup, walked around, got a feel for it, snuck into the prize room where I wasn't supposed to be, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, you're not supposed to be here. I was like, oh crap, I didn't know that. So I got a peek at the unicorn dice, which, you know, lost my bet. That's right,
I won that bet. You still owe me dinner.
Yeah, you did win that bet. Thursday was LCQs.
And did you qualify?
I won worlds, everyone. I won worlds. Don't go by what you see on the sheet. I won worlds.
Congratulations, Chris.
I qualified for not qualifying. I was the best non-qualifier. No,
you
won.
You graduated to Shatterpoint.
I won. Actually, this is pretty embarrassing. I only won one game. I tied one, and then I lost two. So I played the first game. That was against the Sashwashwin guy that I mentioned. Really cool dude. We had a rack on rack list.
Your round one was against Brendan.
Yes.
Yes. Renamed Brendan. Then Leah.
Yeah, Leah was so cool. Her name was like Ether. She went by Ether. But we were just we didn't get a lot of rounds, but we were just laughing the whole time, and you know, kind of reminded. Yeah, we had a draw at the we had a draw. And that was my fault too, because and she flew very well. She did like a sneaky move. And then I thought I was naturally out of somebody's arc, and I wasn't. And then she killed a ship, and then it was a tie. But we were just having fun the entire game. We were laughing and stuff. It was a good time. Then the third
This is a tough LCQ field, right? Because so in years past, right? Like last year for Worlds, I think like 55 people made it out of LCQ into the main event.
This was wrong. Only what, eight, seven?
Seven.
Yeah.
It was so everyone had a similar so technically everyone had a better chance than they did in store champs, but it used the same store champ math, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like everyone in Worlds had an invite, which meant they won or they should have won a store champ level event, which is 16 players or more, right? Or they won a Worlds Open qualifier, which again is probably more than 16 players, right? Mm-hmm. And then so every time we crossed a threshold in player count into a new 16 players in the last chance qualifier, another invite was added, right? Nice. So at the cap of 128, we had eight invites to give out, right? But then you take 16 away, so like 112. Once we got to 112, we would have added an eighth invite, right? So we only had seven invites because we had 104 players. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's... it was a tough field. There are a lot of killers out here playing.
A lot of killers, but I'll also say, like, the people I was running into, I think they, other than, like, the first guy, maybe the first guy, he was pretty good. But, I mean, after that, I think everyone else that I was playing was a little more, they weren't like, man, I got to win this or else. It was more like, you know what? I'm just happy to be here and just have fun and let's get some games going. You know, it was a good.
Well, really yeah, it's the fact that we were only doing four rounds made it tough. You basically had to go 4-0 to advance. Nathan ID is the only player who was 3-1 who advanced.
Mm-hmm.
He was the highest ranked 3-1.
And that's probably another reason why I got that vibe, because I think we already knew we were not going to advance. So then yeah, from there, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, let's have some fun. Let's go to the prize pool.
So, you know, it was a tough field. But again, yeah, to your point, you know, a lot of people played all four of their games, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people played all four of their games. They got all their prize tickets and they were able to shop at the prize wall, right? So you scrubbed out of LCQ because you're terrible at X-Wing. And then what did you do?
Oh, then I played some Shatterpoint.
What was your list?
I was playing something I don't think it was very nice. I was playing the Mean Vader, the Jedi Hunter Vader, mm-hmm. and Ahsoka secondary, and then the ARF troopers. And then I had Lumi, Bo-Katan, and the Super Mando people, the red ones.
Cool.
And it was fun. It was very chill vibe over there, too. I mean, because we're also like helping each other, you know. That's the one thing I'll say. You won't see that much in X-Wing, you know. You won't see like, oh, hey, Pete, you know. But if you did a 3-bank, hey, why don't you just take that back? Just take that back and do a 3-bank, and then focus, and then you could kill me. And that's kind of not the mechanic in X-Wing, but in Shatterpoint, we were like just going back. We're like, oh, well, you want to try to accomplish this? Then go back and just do this. So.
Just roll it back. Well, with a league environment, right? So you were doing the one with the Force League, right?
Yeah.
And that added some like special powers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. That was really cool too. Like each match you played, you would add a certain power, you know, to your bad guys. So yeah, it was a good time. Then I saw some really nice paint jobs too and met some nice people.
Nice.
Impressive.
That's great.
Most impressive.
Did a little shopping. Did you get anything fun for yourself? Any presents?
No, I don't think so. I got presents for other people.
Yeah,
I did get the cup. I got the Adepticon coin. And then I went nuts with the AMG prizes. I got dice. I got foil cards. Then I picked up some other dice for other people, like the SP dice. Then I ran out of stuff. And then that was it. Then I also went to some different places around like Schwarmburg, and I even went to Chicago with Becker. We watched
the March Madness. Yeah, you went to see the big city,
The medium city. We saw some March Madness games. It was a good time, man. It was a good vibe. I missed it.
I heard you also berated an old person.
Oh, that's what he did. Yeah, he cursed
me. Oh, okay.
Because they didn't have his game on the TV, and I think Becker, he went up to Becker and he was like, why isn't this game on? And Becker he went all like hardcore. And he was like, it's not on because we're in Illinois and we should have Illinois game on. Roar! I was like, holy smoke. I never seen that side of Becker, you know?
Yeah, very that scary. Sounds exactly like him.
Very scary, Pete. Very scary.
It's real negative stuff. Yeah, we saw each other for one dinner that you should have paid for because I won the bet, but we forgot. Right.
Skipped out.
Whoops. But other than that, I was real busy because I was judging, right?
Here
so I was
the
there
comes the
Thursday when you were sneaking into the hall, I was there setting up, right? It was like putting mats out and stuff. And then, yeah, so I was there. I was all day, every day. I was there helping people out. And it was... Chris, I every single day I had well above 18,000 steps.
Oh wow! Yeah,
my Apple Watch. One of the days I had 22,000 steps. I was.
You guys looked really active. But like, how was it to be on the other side? Because usually you play. Obviously, now you were judging. And you were judging. Kind of a big event. Only like 300 people were playing. You know, so that's pretty impressive.
So collectively, we had about 400 players.
Yeah,
total. And especially on Friday and Saturday were like our really busy days, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Friday was the main event. We just had a ton of people playing, but then Saturday we included, we added doubles, which was, we'll talk about that. Cause that's you would like that format. We should do a doubles tournament at Hex sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically I had a lot of fun. Let me just start with that. I had a ton of fun because I got to meet and see so many people still, right? Mm-hmm. It felt busier, right? Because it wasn't just like, hey, go to your table, play your game, have a good time, right? And I couldn't like, oh, I scrubbed out of the event. Let me just go bounce and go, play some League or go shop or go play Shatterpoint or whatever. Like, I couldn't do that. I had to keep going.
Had to be responsible, man.
Yeah, basically. And I did feel, especially leading up to it, I felt some FOMO. I was like, oh man, I really wish I was stressing about my list. I really wish I was, worried about this or that, or trying to make a list, trying to come up with a plan.
You look like you were in the zone though, man, like judging, you know?
I was in the zone. And let me tell you, I love answering rules questions, right? Like, I know the rules of this game. I love to be able to help people understand interactions, and I love when interesting questions come up. And even when arc checks come up, I don't mind, especially if it's close. I'm like, oh, this is like an interesting opportunity to check. Is it really in, right?
Was there a couple that were like, holy smokes, this is really a challenging call?
Absolutely. Oh yeah. There were most of them are that way. And Andrew cut for us on his acrylic cutter templates that are clear with a straight line down the middle. So you could like line it up over and you can like see really clearly, is it in, is it out, you know? And there's a lot of, as I'm sure you imagine, like you were saying, when you lost your first game LCQ, after that, it was just like, you're out. So you don't care. Right. It's like,
yeah, fun,
right. It's
just fun, yeah.
Well, the people who are the people who are not out, who like are competing, or in worlds, people who are like, they're close to top 16 or they're close to top, you know, day two or whatever.
Intense.
Those games, every judge call is like, you make that measurement and it's like, you make the call and it's like one person at the table is mad at you and one person's like happy with you. And, but I made sure when I went over to a table that I was just like, hey, I don't want to know whose ship is whose ship. Right. Like, yep. I don't want to know who is playing what. I don't even look at that. I say, what's up? I say, what? They're like, we need an arc check. And I'd say, what ship is shooting what ship? And they would say, this Darth Vader is trying to shoot this Luke Skywalker. Is it an arc? And I'd say, great. I don't care who the Rebel player is. I don't care who the Imperial player is. I don't even look at who's got what cards. I just say, okay, we want to see if this Darth Vader can shoot this Luke Skywalker. Like, that's all the information I have. I measure it and I go in or out and I just say it. Right. And I just,
so you didn't give them your Venmo account to sway their opinion is what you're saying.
No, I didn't pick up any extra cash on the side.
Boo.
And you know a lot of folks gave us stuff, right? Like, cause a lot of people were handing out swag from their locals.
Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we kind of just like compiled it all together.
Right? Oh, cool.
Then at the end of the event, we were like, hey, you know, here's all the things people gave us from their local communities, because we had, you know, Chris Mitchell, who was coming over from the UK, we had Kaylin coming from Canada. We had Chris Sheriff coming from Canada. We had Tim coming all the way from, you know, Australia. And a lot of these guys are running stuff down there, like TOs and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, we want to make sure everyone has some stuff to bring back to their group. Like, everybody has, I brought some community stuff for you to bring back, right? Like, you know, I met some of the folks with the Onyx Squadron, right? So I know you got some of their cards. I have more card packs, and those alt arts are popular because they're beautiful, right?
Yeah, they're nice. Can't wait
Event. So it's like, you know, we made sure that, you know, just because someone handed it to me versus handing it to Chris, we made sure everyone had like an opportunity to bring this community stuff back to their local community, which was like really nice. I thought it was like a good idea.
That was good.
So we had
Friday was the craziest day probably, right?
Yeah. Friday and Saturday were the craziest days for sure. But it was like, but ultimately it was really fulfilling, right? Like I sacrificed my chance to play, right? Which between you and me, you're going to say no, but between you and me, I was never going to win Worlds, right? Like I don't got that dog in me like that. I'm not going to win Worlds. Right. But my not playing meant that we could better facilitate an event for this many people, right? Like, so like I was really happy to be able to like contribute in that way. And again, I feel like I got to meet more people this way. Like I got to interact with more people.
Oh yeah.
Like, let's say I played five, let's say I somehow made world day two of Worlds. I play 10 people total. Mm-hmm. Right. Versus this way, I talk to basically everybody, right? At least once.
Oh yeah.
This was wild stuff. And I will also say
everyone all from all around the globe, which is pretty cool.
I very proudly, I think I only dramatically bumped one person's ship in all the arc checks I did.
As a TO, I hate it when I do it. When someone's like, "Hey, we need your call," and I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And then all of a sudden, I mess it up immediately. I'm like, "All right, well, I guess we could just do it this way."
Well, we made a lot of announcements at the beginning. Like, I'm sure you heard that, like, hey, you know, if something's questionable, have a judge do it. If something is too close, have a judge do it, right? Like, have the judge, like, call the judges, right?
Yeah.
And the idea behind that was that, like, so if I come over to your table, and again, I come over to the table and I don't know who's who, and I'm not rooting for anybody, right? Like, yes. Well, so if you needed a judge call, I wouldn't go over.
I know.
Because I care about you too much, Chris. But like, I go over there and I'm like, yeah, you know, I know a lot of people, right? But like, I'm genuinely not like pulling for anybody in the event other than like you and Sam, right? And Becker. Sorry to everyone I forgot just now. But, you know, I'm not like, you know, I'm like, let me go over and measure an arc. But so like, if you're playing somebody, and you go to measure an arc and you bump a ship, right? Then it's your fault, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like one of the players made a mistake. And how do you fix that, right? But if I go over the measure and the ship gets bumped, which it's a physical game with manual parts, happens, right?
Yeah.
But then I bumped it. It's my fault, right? Then you're not mad at your other, your opponent. You're mad at me. You know what I mean? And that's better.
Yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah. No, you're right. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Anyway, a lot of arc checks. A lot of times people ask for help with like a tricky move or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that, you know, there's, we've talked about it before. Like, there's wiggle room on the templates, right? You know what I mean? Like the template doesn't fit exactly.
Slightly, so, right. Mm-hmm.
Slightly. And, we talked a lot about it with the players in the beginning. Like, hey, you know, your opponent, like, you're in Worlds right now. Your opponent wants to be the world champion and you want to be the world champion, right? So it's like, so if there's anybody at the event you shouldn't trust to do things that are in your favor, it's your opponent, right? And that's not meant to be like, oh, hate your opponent. It's just meant to be like, you know, we all want to win, right? So like, get someone neutral instead of someone who like also wants to win, right? Like, to help you out.
Yeah.
If you have a tricky thing. Because like, oh, you know, it happens to me all the time where I'm like, hey, let me hold this down while you check the arc. And I like put my finger on a ship and it like nudges. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't nudge it on purpose, but it does. Like, it always does. Like, they're physical pieces. They always move a little bit. Right. And that's why it's better to have the neutral party do it, basically, is then because I'm not going to push down on it because I'm going to try not to nudge it. In fact, one interesting takeaway.
Yes, exactly. Oh, you go ahead. Sorry. I don't remember.
No, you go ahead. No, you say what you're going to say.
I was just going to say that. Because when I TO, and nowhere near the level of Worlds, obviously, but when I TO, some people want to help and they want to hold the ship down, which could potentially sway it a little bit, I think, one way or the other. So then
They touch it, it moves. The second, second you touch it. So I'm like, don't fucking touch it. Trying to watch my language.
I literally have to tell people, and some of them are my friends, I literally would tell them, don't touch the ship. Don't touch the ship. No, don't touch the ship. Let go of the ship. Don't touch the ship. Like, four times. You know, because I'm not going to touch the ship. Just let everything go. Let the judge do it.
Yep. Okay. Community wise, everybody wants to be helpful. It comes from a good place, right? I genuinely don't think anyone is nudging ships.
Oh, no, I agree. But it might be accidental.
They're not doing it on purpose. It's all accidental. Yeah. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's all from best intentions, but it's all accidental, right? And it's like, but it's better if, you know, I come over there and when I do an arc check, the template's not touching the base. It doesn't need to touch. It just needs to be level and above the thing. Like, it doesn't actually need, I don't need to press it down on the damn ship to see if it's in arc. Right. Yeah. So, and even when we gave this whole speech, I'd still go over there. People are like, do you want me to mark this? I'm like, no, don't worry about it. I'll do it. I promise.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Yep. Like, I'm always like, I really appreciate that you want to help. Like, I was like, I really respect that. Thank you so much. But like, I'll do it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Cause I don't want them to think that I like don't trust them or don't want them.
Yeah.
To
do, yeah. But you have a job to do. And on top of that, I was also thinking, like, on top of that, you're trying to keep the pace of play going. So maybe if you just handle it, there's one pair of hands on it. Pace of play, yes, no, arc, yes, okay, thank you. Keep going.
Well, and sometimes you don't, like, it looks like you might have to mark something and you don't have to, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always better not to mark something. Cause like, even when you mark something and it's like, oh, line up the template exactly. It's never yeah. like, it's way better to not have to mark and move something.
Yeah. And
even if you do it as exact as possible, it's just way better not to. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Well then, yeah. And like with the templates and stuff where it's like, okay, you know, I could like cheat it a little bit left. Right. Like not cheat it, but like, you know what I mean? Like
there's a little wiggle room.
It's a little wiggle room. Like it's not, again, it's not cheating. It's just the nature of a physical game. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you don't want to have your, you don't want to have your opponent do that for you.
The one times I do struggle is when there's a lot of ships that are higher or lower and you just, sometimes yeah. I think you have to take one of the ships, one of the tops mm-hmm. of it. Like you could take that off, yep. Or remove it, one or the other. But I remember one time I tried to take the top off thinking that was easy. And that's when I actually moved the ship and I was like, okay, can't do that again.
Yeah, there was a couple times where I'm like, okay, especially like the Decimator and the Ghost. I'm like, can I take Rack off the peg? And they're like, sure. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that was like, but ultimately I had a great time. I feel like I did an okay job. You know what I mean? Like I'm open to feedback. If someone wants to send me a message, say, actually you ruined my world's run. And I will tell you, I'm very sorry. Right? Like, I don't think I ruined anyone's world's run.
You ruined our run.
Sorry, buddy. but yeah, I had a good time. I would do it again. Worlds 2025. I would do it again. Except I would make sure that I told the bosses, I would say, I got to go have dinner twice with Chris Daniel because he owes me a dinner from last year.
There you go. We'll make more bets. Make more
he
bets.
He owes me a steak.
That's right.
Moving on to the people who are good at X-Wing, who are not us, Chris.
The Elite 16, the C-Suite 16.
The top 16, and I want to start. I'm picking one. Boop, 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 boop. Ladies' choice. Are you ready?
I'm sitting down.
We're talking old para.
Oh, okay. Oh, top no. Looking at that one.
I'm very sorry. I am not pronouncing his full name. I apologize in advance. I will butcher your name. Instead, I'm going to say old para because that's what he was going by. Was playing scum and villainy. And not only that, Chris, he had the Mando.
I know. Do you see his side name is Orange Klutzes?
Old no. Oh, yeah. Orange, first of all, incredible Klutzes. Name. Did you see his paint job?
No, I didn't. Was it hot?
Oh, beautiful. I'll find a picture and I'll send it to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. All his ships were painted like a orange, right?
Nice, yeah.
But like beautifully painted. Anyway, so he had the Mandalorian. In the Razor Crest with Razor Crest title, the Child Crew and Contraband Cybernetics. I don't know what I honestly don't know what he hid under the title. Probably false.
I mean, responder it's codes, usually right? one of two. Yeah. I mean, because remember you can switch it each round. So false responder or maybe the contraband, who knows?
Well, he had contraband equipped naturally.
Oh, so yeah. False transponder or what's the other one that people use? I don't know, but go ahead.
I mean, Dead Man's maybe, or I don't know.
Overtune modulators, maybe a good one,
especially with a child there. Anyway, moving on. Then he had Fenrau with clan training, Beskar reinforced plating, and shield upgrade. Man, shield plus Beskar. That's mean. It's a survivable Fenrau. Then he had two rogue classes. He had Dirge with proton cannons, marksmanship, and false transponders. And then Cad Bane. This was a clever Cad Bane. You ready for this?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got Xanadu Blood title, which gives him a crew slot. And he's got Kira, so he can ignore obstacles he's locking, right? Mm-hmm. Synced laser cannons, ion bombs, and Marg Sable closure.
Oh, is that the bullseye? Or if you go over an obstacle?
No, Marg Sable's if you go over an obstacle. So he can lock an obstacle, so he ignores it.
Oh!
And then he can yeet slick. Himself over it and give people strain, I think, is for Marg Sable.
That is pretty slick.
It's pretty silly, right? Yeah, clever.
Old Para, I give you credit.
Old Para, yeah. I want to fly this. That's why I need. That's why I said to you in that one Discord. I want that rogue class back. I need one. I only have one. I gotta borrow one.
We'll lend it to you, quote unquote. Have it if you want. Yeah, because you gave me. They were so cool, and it's so funny because I want to fly the
plain one. I just want a plain one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Old Para ended up going 8-2. Over the whole event, right? So he had one loss in Swiss round five, and then didn't lose again until he lost in top 16 to Jorge Castaneda, and Jorge ended up coming second, right? Jorge is a good player too. So I did that. Did I tell you I did that online league with the Mexican X-Wing?
Oh, yes.
Mex-Wing, they call it. Jorge won Mex-Wing. He won that Mex-Wing tournament. I did.
Nice. And look, that was the only, you know, scum. Look,
only scum, but scum. What was the bet? I don't remember what our bet was. Was it that scum and CIS were both in the top 16?
That might have been it. I got to go back and listen. All
right. Well, then I lose. Might have been
it. I know I.
But if it was just scum or, then I won.
I don't think I would bet that because I was betting scum would make it. I wasn't sure that CIS might. But I mean, well, I should say I was thinking scum would make it. So I don't think I would bet against them. But I did bet, I think, Katoff that there would be no gauntlet in the top 32. And I don't think there is a top. Not that we're going over that, but I don't think there's a gauntlet in the top 32. So Katoff owes me a Mercedes Benz or something like that. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all right. Anything else stand out to you in top 16 you want to talk about? Anything good looking?
That one really stands out to me the most. There's a couple. What I'm more surprised of is like how, I mean, I honestly thought I would see more Rebels on top than let's look at this. Let's look at the Heaver list. He's kind of
listen. There's okay. Yeah, we can look at Paul. Yeah, Paul Heaver's list. So Paul Heaver made top four. Now there were four Rebel lists in the top 16. That's not nothing.
Well, I should say I was more surprised that the Republic were really dominant, more dominant in the top of the rankings rather than Rebels and Imps. But going over Paul's list, Sam, I told you to fly. How do you say Gemmer?
Yeah, I don't know. Gemmer. Let's go with Gemmer.
Gemmer Sojan, the A-wing. Yeah. Standard loadout. KO with Juke and Vector Cannons. We should make a standard loadout card just for that because that's pretty much the go-to. And then standard loadouts for the new Wedge and then Gina and Braylon, which is just, I love that synergy. The new Gina, the new Braylon. They can both of them or one of them drop bombs on the side?
They can both drop bombs on the side.
It's amazing.
Braylon has proton bombs and Gina has ion bombs, I want to say. They both drop bombs on the side. And yeah, they could both get double modded pretty easily with their near each other. Yeah, no, it turns out all B-Wings needed was a shield upgrade and a bunch of toys. And they're good. Yes, I mean, this is a straightforward list. I like this list because it's mostly standard loadouts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, it's really rad. Yeah. Also, Paul named his list Keo over Endor, which is a good name.
I mean, he also got I felt bad because Chumbalaya.
Jeremy Chambly.
Yes. He flew Jendon and then Rack with the usual Rack, Ruthless Vader, Death Troopers, Agile Gunner.
Yeah, standard loadout Rack, yeah.
Yeah, standard loadout Rack, standard loadout Deathfire, standard loadout Tomax. Flew the same list that I flew, except the complete opposite way, because he flew it exceptionally successful.
Yeah, did he make top eight or top four? Top eight, I think.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yep, top eight. Which is still impressive, though, with four ships. Because then you look at the top
three. What did you fly? Hang on. You flew the same thing? You flew Jendon?
Yeah, that's literally what I flew. Jendon.
Whoa, how did I know you were flying Jendon? I thought you were flying like Rack plus a bunch of bombers.
No, I wasn't going that route. I went Rack. Well, there's two bombers in there. Rack, Jendon, Tomax, and Deathfire. That's two bombers, literally.
Huh. All right. I had no idea.
Look at that, man. You learned something new every day.
Good job, Jeremy Chambly. Bad job, Chris. a lot of Republic, like you were pointing out before. A lot of Republic. Duncan, we had Duncan, friend of the podcast. Duncan was here. He was on Empire. Uh-oh, Duncan didn't upload his list.
Boo.
Oh, never mind. It got uploaded later, round five. He had Jendon, Vader, Tomax, and Feroff. That is a list I flew messing around a little bit. And update, it's good. It's a good list.
That's good.
Actually, I think I did Vizier with Palp, but Duncan's probably better because I don't know what I'm doing.
Look at these top ones, though. I mean, this was like Republic. Look, the top three are Republic
War Games were happening.
Yeah. Oops, Soul, Clone, Stumps or something. three. Yeah, look at this third one, the Marco one. That one looks, I think, a little more different than what we usually see, right?
Well, all these are pretty different. So Marco has a Jedi in there, right? But the top two tables, so Ilias, who won, and Jorge, who came second, both were all clones lists, which is wild.
Nice.
Right?
And for the record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you, Mr. Pete Lambro, start this trend? As soon as the clones came out, weren't you like doing all the oops upside my clone head or something like that? Didn't you try that?
So I want to say clearly and for the record, I did not start this by any measurement, in any capacity. This is not my responsibility, but I was a fan of flying all standard loadouts and all clones in the previous points adjustment. So yes, but so Ilias, who won, was flying standard Lodo. Well, actually, let's talk about what both of the top two lists had, like the crossover. They both had the arcs. They both had Oddball, Wolf, and Jag. Okay. Then they both had AZ-95. So Ilias had Slider with Dedicated. Jorge had Boost with Predator. Okay. Both 2-point Zs. Then we diverge. Jorge went with two more standard loadouts, Kickback and Axe. So Axe is the one who's got barrage rockets on him. Kickback is the one with Diamond Boron.
So cool to see those like back in action, by the way.
Really cool. Well, and I've said this when I was flying a bunch of clone lists. The aesthetic profile of these lists is incredible, right? Because they all like thematically look great together, right?
Yeah.
And then Ilias had two Y-Wings instead of the two
very beefy. So
the two Torrents, very beefy.
Ooh, and right? Ion. So major control there, too.
Yep. Well, so Broadside has Ion Cannon Turret and Proton Bombs, and then Matchstick has Ion Cannon Turret plus Ion Bombs. And now Matchstick, because we don't see him that often. I don't know if you remember what Matchstick does.
Is that if you target lock him, he gets the rerolls for amount of red tokens on him, or that's the other guy?
You know, that's right. He gets rerolls for having red tokens on him, and target locks, to your point, are red tokens. So having target locks on him. Like, so you lock in the
catch
beginning.
Me, Pete. You thought you were going to catch me, but no.
I'm just checking that old noggin of yours. I'm just checking the old brain to make sure it's a mind like a steel trap still.
I still got it.
Broadside's got the free, he gets a free eyeball in his side arc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, both good ships. Ilias ended up winning Republic on Republic. I, for one, welcome our new Republic overlords. Marco Tamlin, to your point, though, had a little bit of a different list. So Marco had, ready for this? He had Oddball standard loadout.
Oh,
but then he had custom Wolf.
Oh, shucks. You're right. That is
custom. You're darn tooting them right. He had R4P Astro, Veteran Tail, and Expert Handling on custom Wolf.
So
then he had.
Wait, let's rewind a second. So why do you think he went custom with that? What's the big difference? Is it R4P, the ping droid? Is that the ping droid?
No, that's the R4P is the like maneuver droid.
Oh, he doesn't come with that.
He doesn't come with. He normally comes with Q7 Astro, which is the U6 Astromech.
So that's really good. I'm going to do a basic maneuver, but now I'm going to clear that stress, I think, right?
Yeah, well, it's any basic maneuver you can lower the difficulty of. So arcs normally four straight is red, so he can four straight and it's white, or he can like three turn and it's blue or something like that, or right, white, or two turn and it's blue. He can just adjust his thing. It's actually really valuable. Mace Windu Delta 7B. Okay.
I love with seeing R4, that.
R4P17 and Heightened Perception. R4P17, I'm pretty sure is the guy what gives you an action after you do a stressful thing.
Mm-hmm. And he likes to be stressed because then he gets his up force back.
Right. Fully execute a maneuver. You can spend one charge to perform an action while stressed. Yes. And if he does a red, he gets force back, right? Because Mace Windu classically is living on the edge. Then he had two Z95s. He did Boost and Slider, both with Predator. And then Broadside with Ion Cannon Turret and Proton Bombs. I like the top three all had Republic Y-Wings. And I feel like I haven't seen a Republic Y-Wing on the table in forever, but three of them in the top three. That's wild.
Yeah. Jorge didn't have a Y-Wing. He had three arcs. No,
yeah, but Ilias had two, so three across the top.
Oh, eight. I see what you're saying. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty big. And two out of the four had them. Yeah. And they look cool.
I like the look of them. You seen a good paint jobs? You had a lot of good paint jobs.
Just going to say, I haven't seen any like really crazy good Y-wing paint jobs. So you saw that too? Damn it.
I didn't see a Y-wing paint job. Well, maybe I did. I don't know. Let me check the records.
Yeah. But those are
there were best painted awards every day.
Nice. Very cool.
And you know what? Listener of this podcast, Paul LaRue's son, Jean-Luc, was the one who won for Republic.
Oh, nice.
And he had a painted Y-wing in his. It looks really beautiful. It's blue and white. I can send you a picture of that.
Very cool.
His squad actually was really nice. It was it was like a bunch of arcs and C95, but they all had a unified color scheme, but lots of like straight clean lines, which is like I know you don't do a ton of miniature painting. That's really hard to do.
Oh wow, yeah. You need like, the
really,
tape.
Really hard to do.
For the straight line, you need the tape.
Yeah, taping is one way, but even with tape it's tough to do because the models are not perfectly flat, right? Mm-hmm. So it's tough, right?
Dude, there's a lot of Y-wings if you keep looking down this list. A lot of the Republic Y-wings.
Yeah, all from outside of the United States. So what are we doing? What are we sleeping on Y-wings here, man?
Yeah, we got to get with the program.
Andrew Privat had two Y-wings. Someone who changed their role better name. I think I know who it is, but I don't know, I'm not going to out them on account of they seem to not want to be associated with the event anymore. Like they just changed their role better name. This is not popping up.
There's a Lando. There's a Lando in there.
Where?
Lando. De La Rontris list.
Damien De La True.
Yes, that guy.
Yes, had Hera A-wing. This is now. I also Brendan Kading also had Hera A-wing. Hera A-wing, Lando. This is Rebel Lando, Boudica, and this is customized Lando. So it's Perceptive, Copilot, Neonum, Piston, Falcon, Boudica, Sabine, and Hall Oakend.
Yep.
I still think maybe Leia Falcon has legs because she can do the double tap the way Han used to.
Worth a try. Hera. Yeah,
she gets a lot. Dude, she gets so much loadout. Have you looked at this, Leia?
Yeah, it's 20 plus points, I think, right?
24 loadout.
Jeez.
Bananas. Bananas now, loadout.
Do you think Hera's swarm tacticking Boudica, I presume?
I honestly don't know. My brain is very smooth. I know nothing. maybe swarm up Hall Oaken so you can APT someone right away.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, man.
Play it by
maybe
ear.
Just maybe swarming any of these people is actually great.
I like Khan had. I love seeing Fenn. You know, even though it's Rebel, still Fenn. But I like how he had ion missiles on Kao.
Yeah, Octor Khan, right here. I had the pleasure of meeting him in person for the first time. Very sweet guy.
Nice.
Yeah, Rebel Fenn Rao, Kao Venzi, your boy Luke, and your beau Wedge. I love to see them teamed up. So I packed a list, Chris.
Whoa.
Thinking I might play X-Wing. I didn't, but I ambitiously packed a list. And you know what I packed? As many standard loadouts as I could. And I wanted to use the Red Squadron cardboard that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had your boy Luke. I had Battle Over Endor Wedge. Then I had Garvin and Jek and Sabine.
Oh, wow. You were ready?
I was ready. I was ready for a real joust me list. Just come at me, bro.
Now, what sucks is, as you're talking, you could probably answer this faster than me. Oh, here it goes. Jesus. Is the first CIS list 74th? Double fire spray?
I honestly, maybe. I don't actually know.
I think it is, because the other bad news to give everyone is there was no First Order in the top 16.
Right, yeah, no FO in the top 16, no...
no CIS, still 74, no CIS. I think.
Now, Nicholas did well. Nicholas Scott, our former world champ, no longer world champ. He did well, and I said to him, I said, oh, no First Order, and he was like, no, Rebels.
What about this?
Our friend Doug Howe came 31st.
I like
FO. He was repping FO.
Yeah, he's trying. Go, Doug. I'll be your Doug. They had Matthew Deering, not the top 16, but we have a U-wing sighting.
A U-wing spotted in benthic two tubes.
Yeah.
That's got Hopeful and Jin and Perceptive Copa and Pivot Wing. Actually, that's a really solid benthic two tubes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, props to him to get that high. 7-1, you know, 7-1-2, excuse me. But that's pretty good with the don't, you know, I haven't seen the U-wings go that far. So props to him.
Yeah, this is James Webber energy right here.
Forever known for the U-Wings.
Shout out to James for loving U-Wings and having these custom, real thick stands for his U-Wings. You know what I'm talking about, right? These magnetic stands.
Yeah, he hates them. He's like, I wish I didn't do it to all of them. Where did our boy Chris
Bishop go? I love them.
where did our boy Crispy land over here? I'm trying to find him.
Well, so first of all, you should know that Crispy's sister also did really well. She made it out of LCQ. Kathleen Patrick was there. Patrick's sister, who I said to Crispy, I said, we got to make sure your dad plays next time. He's like, I'm working on it. but she, first cool. of all, she was repping Scum in the LCQ, and she killed LCQ. I don't know where any of them ended up. Chris Patrick ended up 5-5 for 97th place overall.
But he did go back to, I think he did go back to.
FO. He was on the fun police again.
Yeah, he went to
his tried and true FO, and maybe it was just bad matchups. We'd have to talk to him at some point.
Yeah,
might have just been rough matchups. Looks like a couple wins against Republic, a couple losses against Rebels, which, like, you know, if you get caught out right by, you know, if Hollow or Von Reg gets caught out by these B-Wings that can just, like, missile to death or Protorp to death, right? Like that, I get it, right? A big man. So, you know, just looking at stats here, right? So Crispy played against three high ship count Republic lists, right? He played against three of them, and he won all those games, right?
Wow.
So if you think about it, like playing into, you know, the quote unquote meta, the meta of the field, right? Like playing into the top cut field, it seems like maybe Crispy's list would have done well. We have to get him on to talk about it sometime. Like, it feels like he would have done all right against that, because, you know, you see in the Swiss, like, rankings, like, hey, he was beating similar archetypes, right? Mm-hmm. Which is strong stuff. And then a couple of the losses were here to, like, Rebels
all three times.
Rebels and Imps. And then, the last loss against the Mirror, against another FO.
Yeah,
it's,
you gotta lose your own people.
Kylo. Yeah, you hate to take out your fellow Kylo, your fellow FOer. That's what I hear. That's what they saying. Anyway,
I like it.
All right, what else you got, Chris? Anything else on this list? It's getting late, I am tired. I need to get to bed.
Yeah, I was skimming through it. I think the most important, the kind of big shocker, is the that Scum list, and I'm actually surprised. I see a resistance list here with BB-8 transport pod. I think he's 30.
No, that's not surprising, because he's the two pointer.
Yeah, but everyone now, they don't really fly the BB-8 that I've seen, at least around here locally. They've been going, it's either T-70s or the Y-Wing.
Well, everyone knows that the local New Jersey crew, they're on secret tech. Okay. that we were all smart enough not to bring to Worlds. Okay. So as not to play our hand too early, but Worlds 2025, jokes aside, I legitimately, would have bet money, like, beforehand, that one of our locals made top 16 for sure.
Brett made it far.
Brett had a tremendous run. Yeah. I'm very proud of Brett. I'm proud of all the guys who qualified and came out. First of all, came out to Worlds. Katoff, Keith was there. Brett was there. Shane was there.
Raz, Jason,
Tom was there. Yeah. Jason, yeah, because you know what, you get into it, right?
Becker,
first of all, getting to Worlds is tough, right? We, mm-hmm. you know, I joked before during the store champ season. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna go to a store champ where I'm just gonna go to a store champ where everyone's already won. It'll pass down to me in last place, right?
Right.
And but it's not like that, right? It's not actually like that. So, like, first of all, to all these folks who like got to the main event, bravo, right? Like,
kudos to you.
Like, you get to a tournament with 16 people who all want to win that invite, and you win. Nice job. Like, that's rad. Also, like, if you made day two of Worlds, that's even better, right? So, like, you know, some folks made day two, right? Like, Tom Traz made day two. He went 3-2, right? Like,
that's, yeah.
Ted from Lib Squadron.
Right, Ted, yeah. Did very well.
Walter, our own local Walter, went to day two. He played all his games, right? Like, he played 10 rounds. Shane made day two, right? Like, A lot of the folks we know and love and support in this game made day two, and I'm proud of all of them for kicking butt.
Good job, everybody.
Good job.
Checks and, in but the no, mail.
If you had asked me beforehand to put money on one of our folks making top 16, I would have done so without hesitation. I think we have some of the best players in the area, and you know how it goes, right? Like, sometimes you show up to a big event and it's just like you run into two bad matchups and your run is done, right? So it's as much matchup luck in a lot of it as it is, you know, skill, right? So I think our folks have the skill. So anyway, I just don't want anyone, I don't want anyone who made it to Worlds who actually showed up and played to feel bad about their run, except for this guy right here, Chris Perez. What a terrible player he is.
Scrub. What a scrub.
Total scrub. But anyway, yeah, so that was Worlds, man. I'm still tired. You still tired? I'm so bad at this. I'm sorry, Brian. I had a nice listener who, I'm going to tell the story, who very respectfully asked me, and he said the only request he would make in the podcast is less swearing. And I said, you know what? That's a totally reasonable ask. And I'm trying. And I think I've messed up many times in this podcast. And I think Chris is doing a better job than I am. And I'm trying.
I think I curse more with my friends, or, you know, when my potty mouth comes out when I'm watching sports, like a team I'm passionate about, it's literally horrible. I wake up all of like Yonkers. It's
horrible. Never use it in anger. It's just part of my lexicon. It's terrible.
It's passion.
Yeah, I got the passion. Anyway, Chris, happy Worlds, my friend. I don't know what's coming next. Maybe we'll see points. Maybe we'll see updates. Maybe we'll see announcements on new OP stuff. I know Nova already has on the schedule a quote unquote major AMG sponsored event.
Yep. So whatever that means. Still going. We're still going to have events, guys. So we're
still going to have events, and we'll be around.
And let's keep it going.
I mean, my philosophy game-wise is I'm going to continue to play this game as long as there are people playing the game and as long as I'm still having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so Chris, thank you for joining me. I've been your host, Pete Lambro. This has been yet another episode of Yet Another X-Wing Podcast. We will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.